Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a mission-oriented innovation policy, or MOIP. We're focusing on the thinking behind it, really.
That's right. And the core idea we're exploring is why today's big economic goals, you know, smart, inclusive, sustainable growth, might need us to fundamentally rethink government's role.
So moving beyond just like fixing problems after they appear.
Exactly. The source material we looked at argues that just fixing market failures isn't enough anymore. This approach, MOIP, it's really about giving economic growth a clear direction.
Okay, direction. So policy then becomes about actually co-creating markets, shaping them.
Precisely. And that leads straight to the idea that public investment isn't just about, say, leveling the playing field for everyone.
Right. The paper argues against just de-risking.
Yeah, it's about actively tilting the field towards specific desirable goals. Think strategic decisions on maybe battery storage technology or certain kinds of finance.
Okay, tilting. That's a strong word. So help us distinguish here. The document talks about a broad challenge versus a concrete mission.
That's a really important distinction. A challenge is big, maybe a bit vague, like tackling climate change.
Okay.
A mission, though, that's concrete, it's specific, measurable. Something like maybe reduce carbon emissions in this city by 40% in the next 10 years.
I see. So it's about accountability, setting real targets.
And it usually requires transformation across whole systems. You know, the climate mission isn't just about solar panels.
No, it'd have to involve transport, energy grids, maybe even food systems.
Exactly. Multiple sectors. Think historically like the Apollo mission that was very top-down envision, right? Get to the moon.
Right.
The how involved all this bottom-up experimentation, lots of different companies and researchers working on pieces of it.
And modern examples. The paper mentions Germany's Energiewende.
Yeah, that's interesting because it kind of flipped the script.
Yeah.
It started more bottom-up with green movements pushing for change, and then it got that top-down political direction later on.
Okay, so if the government is tilting and setting missions, how does it actually do that effectively? This sounds like it needs a different kind of state apparatus.
It does. The paper calls it the entrepreneurial state.
Yeah.
The idea is that the state needs to invest strategically, but crucially, along the entire innovation chain.
Not just basic science way upstream.
No, right through to supporting early commercialization.
Mm.
And it needs what the document terms patient long-term strategic finance.
Patient finance, so the opposite of venture capital looking for a quick exit.
Pretty much. Think public money that can handle high risk and wait, you know, maybe a decade or more for really foundational stuff to develop.
We've seen this play out historically, right? With agencies like DARPA or the NIH in the U.S.
Absolutely. Those agencies, and NASA too, they funded so many core technologies that are now in our smartphones, for example. The internet, GPS, touch screens, even parts of Siri. They took big risks consistently, not just when the economy was booming.
But taking those big risks, that brings up the Solyndra versus Tesla example mentioned in the source. Public money backed both. One failed spectacularly, the other succeeded wildly.
And that's the reality of this kind of ambitious innovation, isn't it? You make multiple bets, some won't pay off. Solyndra was a high-profile failure backed by a government loan guarantee.
And Tesla got a similar loan guarantee and obviously became a huge success.
Right. So the crucial question the paper raises is this. If the public sector is absorbing the inevitable high-risk failures, how does it ensure it also gets a share of the rewards from the successes?
So it's not just about picking winners, but about structuring the deals so the public benefits if things go well.
Exactly. Should the public retain some equity? Or maybe royalties on sales? Or perhaps use conditions like price caps on the resulting products or services. It's about sharing the upside, not just covering the downside.
That seems fair. How do you actually put all this into practice then?
Well, the paper suggests a framework to guide policy design. They call it ROAR. It stands for Roots, Organizations, Assessment, and Risks and Rewards.
Okay, ROAR. Roots and organizations are about setting direction and having the right kind of adaptive networks.
Yes, networks that can learn and adjust. But the other two, assessment and risks rewards, are maybe even more critical for making this work differently.
How so? Assessment.
Assessment needs to be dynamic, not just a static cost-benefit analysis done up front, but ongoing evaluation that actually embraces learning from failures along the way.
And risks and rewards, we just discussed ensuring that symmetry between who takes the risk and who gets the potential reward.
Precisely. It ties it all together.
Okay, so wrapping this up. This mission-oriented approach seems particularly relevant for what the paper calls wicked problems, these complex, interconnected challenges like climate change, Inequality, public health.
Yeah, the really big, messy stuff.
So if we accept that government might need to take this more directive role to tackle these huge issues, here's something for you, our listeners, to think about. What kind of new democratic processes might we need? How do we make sure that the public actually gets a real say in defining these incredibly important missions that will shape our collective future?